Hello, welcome to the Lately in PHP podcast. Today there will be a special episode because you have a guest. But first, let me introduce you first, our now sort of regular co-host, Cesar Rodas. Hello, Cesar. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm doing just fine.
Yeah, that's good to know. So our guest is Yasir Siddiqui from Pakistan. Hello, Yasir. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent.
Well, Yasir is here today because he was the winner 2013 of the PHP Programming Innovation Award that goes on every year. And later during the show, we will be talking about more about why and what made this award be assigned this year to Yasir. But since we have a long show ahead, because there are many interesting topics to discuss lately in the PHP world, we are going to jump right to the topics, and then we'll get back to the part of the Innovation Award. We have a more detailed interview ahead with Yasir about his work. So first, let me start by commenting on the recent PHP releases. Well, in January, there was basically only a PHP 5.5.8 release, which seems to be as usual, one of maintenance releases with mostly bug fixes and probably some minor changes. I didn't see anything worth noting. Cesar, did you find anything interesting to comment on this release of PHP 5.5.8?
Not something outstanding that I have it running, and I don't see much difference. I'm looking at the change set now.
Right.
It seems that they fix a couple of C internal errors and then a bunch of bug fixes, which is right. Always good.
Yes, and there was also PHP 5.4.24. Practically at the same time as usual, and it seems to address similar bugs. So it was yet another maintenance release. There is not really much more to say about this, and so we are going to move on to one next topic, the other things that have been happening in PHP world in the mostly discussions in the PHP internals. One of those discussions is related with an eventual feature of matching IP addresses to sessions. Well, there is this proposal here, but usually IP addresses may be a source of problems, especially when you are accessing PHP sites on the web, the public web, because some ISPs rotate IP addresses. I mean, the IP addresses that the sites see are usually of proxies, and those proxies keep rotating the IP addresses. And for the same user, it may change the IP address, but the proposal here is to have some option to verify the IP address of a session, which could be useful more in internet on which there is no such problem of rotating IP addresses. So once a session is attached to an IP address, if it changes for some reason, probably the session should not be accessible to that user. Probably it's a stolen session. I don't know. Did you guys look into this topic? What do you think about it?
I guess it has good intentions, but it is targeting to at the wrong place. Like, the way I see it, and I might be wrong, it's a PHP, it's a generic thing, so it should work. And if you worry about that, you should either implement your own session or use any other framework that already does that. Like, I used some frameworks in the past that they encrypt the first bytes. So if something changes, like the IP address or something like that, they cannot get any valid session. So I think that it has good intentions, but that it won't be approved.
Well, I don't know if it was going to be approved, but I understand your point. Basically, we are saying that there are many classes and frameworks that already do the IP verification.
Exactly. Like, to me, this is a high-level problem, and they wanted to fix this in a very, very low level. Like, what happens if I don't care about that? Like, I have a very busy site, and my client's ISP, they just bounce in or they get out through a pool of proxy. So what's going to happen there? So, and that is the thing. Like, I think that it has good intentions, but it's pointing at the wrong direction.
Well, I don't know. For me, it wouldn't hurt if they have that feature built in, but as you said, it's not really necessary. Anyway, moving on to the next topic, I have found this interesting site. I think it's a library or something, which basically allows you to interpret PHP using JavaScript. And with this, you can have a sort of an interpreter of PHP code in your browser. So basically here, on the left, you have some the configuration of the engine. And on the right, you have the PHP program. This is still beta, so it won't work as a full PHP engine, but you can do the usual echo hello world, and it is interpreting it at runtime. So once you have a PHP script with the correct syntax, it will work, and it also allows you to pass some configuration options like some for a certain object called info that is defined here on the right. I tried to paste some PHP code, like full-blown classes, and it starts complaining for some reason. Something will work, but some things will not work. Well, it doesn't like functions. That's probably because they are not public. So it requires it.
That is not necessary because it's your constructor, okay, and okay.
Oh, yeah, okay, silly me. So it called it twice.
Yeah.
One for the object. Okay, that will be the way.
Okay.
So constructors are working, but I tried to put classes with. I tried to paste full blown classes with more details. It start complaining. But well, as you can see, it works. It's still alpha, as they say, but. But it may have its purposes. I don't have any application for this in mind. Do you guys have any ideas? Why would you want to a PHP interpreter in the browser?
Well, I don't know. I think it is a very nice pet project. to be honest. And why not in a very, very distant future, that you can just take one PHP classes and that can be just converted into JavaScript, so you can use it either in your browser or in the server side using Node. But that is in a very distant future. I see this as a very nice pet project. So I wish I could have free time to actually do that, but I don't, unfortunately. Or fortunately, it depends from...
Well, somebody has to work and to get get you paid, or else you won't make a living from developing if you just have fun and no pay.
And I do have a lot of fun, but different fun.
Yeah, a paid fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, now moving on with the next topic. We are going to comment about something regarding several discussions that concern already the next versions, what to do with the PHP development. And one of those discussions is an eventual cleanup between PHP 5.5 and 5.6. As you may probably be reading on screen, it says that in PHP 5.5 they have deprecated several things, including the MySQL extension. So the question was more, shall they remove the PHP, the MySQL extension finally in PHP 5.6 already, or this will cause serious problems to the PHP world and nobody will upgrade to PHP 5.6? I mean, almost nobody. There are always some people brave that no longer have legacy applications that rely on this extension. What do you guys think? Will this take five more years for PHP 5 to be adopted?
I think that the PHP that they, as they said, like they should eventually get rid of it because it's legacy code, and there is nothing bad with all code. But in this case, I guess that it takes time, a precious time from the internal guys to actually maintain that. And there are some alternatives out there. I used to use the MySQLi. I think that is how it is pronounced, or the PDO class, and they are just fine. The problems are that as far as I've been reading into the email threads, is that WordPress is actually using that. And WordPress, because it is open source and because it is quite popular, that means that millions of websites that they won't be able to actually upgrade. Yeah. And what is going to happen is that I saw what was the solution that they provide was that we will remove it from our core. And they want to move it to a Pickle extension, which is a repository for C code, for C PHP extensions, which is nice. But the problem is that PHP is different than many other programming languages like Perl. It's similar to Perl, but like Ruby or Python, where these compiled extensions are quite popular, and the reason being is for you to deploy a Ruby application or a Python application, you would more likely have your own server or your own VPS where you can compile things. In the case of PHP, because it is so massive popular, most of the people, like, I don't know a exact number, but I would say like 90% or so, they don't have any VPS. They just run it into
shared server.
shared hosting. So, and they don't compile anything. They just drop something and it works, and that's fantastic. So what this is going to happen, I think I saw one class in PHP classes, correct me if I'm wrong, it's that people will actually write equivalent code in PHP that will underneath use something else like PDO or the MySQLi extension, so improved. So, and which isn't that bad also, but it's a tough decision, and I believe that it is having a lot of discussion.
Right. What about you, Yasti? Do you have legacy applications with MySQL extension to probably maintain? What is your experience?
Well, I will agree that it is really a tough decision if you remove the MySQL support in PHP 5.6.
Yeah. The problem is that will it give you a lot of work to maintain the existing applications just to move on to MySQLi or PDO?
Well, I guess it should be better to move on to MySQLi or PDO. That would be better.
Right, but in your case, do you have many applications that would require that effort, or you have already migrated in the past to?
I have already been using MySQLi.
Okay, so you don't have legacy applications. That's good for you.
No,
but
yeah.
Do you use WordPress?
Yeah, WordPress.
Well, so I guess at least until somebody gives an upgrade to WordPress. Probably there are some plugins or something that already do the switch, but personally I don't use WordPress. I don't know. Well, anyway, this problem of requiring newer extensions in newer versions is always a problem for many people, and not just with MySQL, but another extension that is being proposed to be removed from PHP is the IMAP extension, which lots of people use to retrieve access mailboxes. And there is a proposal here to remove it because it relies on a library named cClient that is dead and has been for a while. Well, it's not that it stopped working, it's just that it is not being maintained. But if it is working, it's not that much of a problem unless somebody finds bugs that are not fixed. And, well, the PHP extension relies on that library, so they are considering also to remove it sometime in the future, maybe in 5.6. So the discussion is still up regarding this topic because it's reasonably recent. I don't know what they will decide, but I'm sure if it is removed from PHP 5.6, it will be yet another thing that developers have to be concerned if it is removed. And like Cesar mentioned, for MySQL, there is even somebody that developed a class and some functions to wrap around code that emulates the MySQL functions in case they are not present. But for IMAP, I have not heard of anything like that. Well, we have to see how this is going to happen, if they are going to remove it or not. So moving on with the next topic, which is also related with the future. There was a long thread being discussed about what will make into the next PHP versions, things like generics and changing the function naming. And it's interesting that people are very eager to create backwards incompatible changes in newer versions. So just because they don't like the way it is handled now, it doesn't mean that it's not working, but it just means that they may not be happy because there are inconsistencies, there are new features that they would like to be introduced. And one of the related discussions is whether the next version of, I mean, the next major version should be called PHP 6 or PHP 7, because PHP 6 is already associated with a project failure, which was the intention to implement Unicode in support, I mean, built in the language engine, and it was a challenge that was too big, and they ended up giving up it. So PHP 6 was sort of killed. So the discussion here is also whether should they call it PHP 6, the next major version, or PHP 7. What do you guys think? Do you have any opinions about this?
It's a political change, and it is a branding issue. Like, if people complain, and if I was someone with actually decision, I would propose, like, okay, guys, why don't we choose, like, 6.1 and end of the discussion? But that is not the really important thing.
Right. People sometimes seems to be concerned with some silly details, but
yeah.
Okay, but I think, like somebody mentioned, PHP, it should be called PHP 6 because it will restore somehow the credit that PHP lost when they canceled PHP 6. So there will be a new PHP 6 that gets over the past memories. Well, I don't know. Yassi, what do you think? Shall it be called PHP 6 or PHP 7?
Oh, well, that's not really important. What I would think it should be called, it's 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter, I guess.
You're right. As long as they move on and stop discussing silly things.
Yeah.
Silly things. Okay, so that case is settled. So now we are going to move on with another topic. This is interesting because it has so many reactions. The topic is about a conference that Rasmus Lerdorf, the creator of PHP, gave, on which somebody asked at the end some questions, and one of the questions is, well, what he thinks about PHP frameworks. And that was in an event about PHP frameworks. And what was interesting is that he said that the PHP frameworks, they all suck. And this was an interesting reaction, especially in a PHP event for frameworks. So it's like saying, all you guys are using things that suck. And, well, but he explained it. It was not just trying to annoy the audience. He put it. He explains several things that are relevant. His main concern seems to be performance, because I think it's related with his current work. I think he's consulting with companies that call him to help him to optimize PHP to run on environments that. All scalability enhancements helped, because it reduces the cost of the servers. And basically, he commented about several aspects of that frameworks seem to have very annoying problems, according to him. He mentioned about that frameworks tend to make the very same decisions on every request. Like I mentioned, for instance, that if you have a framework that wraps around MySQL to access databases, on every request it keeps asking, am I using MySQL? Okay, let's load this class. On the next request, it asks this very same question. Am I using MySQL? Okay, let's load this class. But so it is a sort of decision that the scripts tend to waste time repeating the process to take the same decisions. And since the decisions don't change from one request to the other, it sees that as a waste. And this is interesting. Well, I don't know. Oh, did you guys follow? Did you read this article? Let's try to comment a bit more on each of these points. What do you guys think?
Okay. Let me open the tab. Like, I was lucky enough that I went to the same conference like a week before that call, that was in Buenos Aires, and we had the opportunity to actually talk, and he mentioned all those things, and I kind of things like the way he see it, like framework, like everyone use like a set of classes and a set of functions, either yours or for somebody else. The problem are with the generic framework that okay, this is a bazooka, you can just kill a fly or kill 20 men. So it will serve its purpose, but it won't be the perfect solution for just one problem. And I think basically that. And the other thing is that many frameworks, especially those new frameworks, they just inspire on frameworks from other languages, and other languages where it's totally different. Like starting like how it is deployed. Like they create a web server so they can have some state in there, so they can just afford to just load 20, 30, 50 classes, because that happens right once. And in case of PHP, that is different, because that happens on every request. And even if you think that that is not optimized, like that has a beauty that you can just add like 20 servers and it scales. Also, you don't have memory problems because one worker dies and nobody cares, because they are multiple processes most of the time. But the important thing is that from the PHP point of view, like you cannot reuse anything from one request to another unless you store it into a database. So the frameworks, right, they have to adapt into that.
Right. PHP framework should be optimized for the PHP environment rather than trying to copy what is done on the Java world. I know you were avoiding to say the name Java and probably Ruby. But the fact is that that's the one typical inspiration. I don't know, but I think it's related with the fact that in college, many people learn about Java, not PHP. So whatever is done in Java that they learn in college, they use it in the PHP world because the teacher said so. The problem is that the teacher is somebody specializing in theory and probably not very experienced in and the practical aspects, and whatever he says sometimes leads to expensive decisions, like, oh, you should use all these piles of design patterns just because I'll give you a greater score, a greater grade in the end. Well, the real world is no longer about college. You are no longer trying to get the best grade. You need to achieve goals that matter to the company that you work for, and if your company requires that you develop, implement solutions that scale to the point of requiring less servers and be less expensive, that's probably the most important goal, not how many design patterns that you have used. And regarding to what you said, that is related to another point, which is the dependency of classes among them. So if you load one class, it also needs to load several other classes because they are dependent for some reason, even if it's just very small use case. You still need to load it, or else it fails to load. But for whatever you are using on your application, you probably won't ever call the dependent classes. And this is problematic when you have many, many classes. And I have seen frameworks with so many classes that I wonder if are all those classes necessary. And this is actually very, very, very interesting. Another aspect related with many classes being loaded is the current, some frameworks use object relational mapping, the so-called ORM components, that try to compose the SQL code that they will execute at the runtime. But from one request to the other, the actual code does not change. The resulting SQL will always be the same, but they always will try to compose the SQL that they will run dynamically as if anything will change. And since it won't, I see that as a waste. And that was one thing that got my attention. And on a side note, I would like to comment something that probably is most misunderstood. This article that I wrote is mostly my opinion about what Rasmus said. It's not just Rasmus' opinion. So I commented about other things that Rasmus did not say, at least directly. So when I mentioned about ORMs, it was not exactly Rasmus that commented about that. It was me. So please don't be confused with which person is emitting which opinion. That when I mentioned ORMs, that was my opinion. But I was talking about ORMs because many years ago I developed a solution that does not follow that route of composing SQL queries at runtime. What it does is generates code that has the queries already composed in the code that is generated. So you don't have to go through the repeated process of executing the queries, I mean, composing the queries at runtime. And some people say, oh, but that's not much time. It will not spend so much time composing queries dynamically. Well, if you add all the small amounts of time that you will be wasting here and there choosing the database wrapper class that you need to load, reading the PHP options that you need to load from somewhere, also composing queries dynamically, and other aspects. If you add all those small amounts of time, it will start becoming significant and it will start hitting your performance. I don't know if you guys have thought about this. What do you think?
I think that the way that it should work is that it should be in the middle of both work. Like, it doesn't matter, like, when I'm developing something, if it does a lot of checkings, because it's in my development sandbox, but I would like to see, like, framework, like, pushing some sort of production mode that it would just walk through my project and just generate a exact bootstrap of what I'm going to actually use always, because things doesn't change in production that often. Like, and the thing is, like people say, like it's just a tiny overhead. Like when you use an ORM or something like that. But the thing is that you do it all the time because PHP doesn't have a memory. It's like a person with Alzheimer, like it forgets everything. So, yeah. And you do it all the time, and if you do have 1 million queries, 1 million visitors, so you would do it 1 million times. And if it takes like 3 milliseconds, that 3 milliseconds plus 1 million, and that does take some time.
Right, and that's really, can be really problematic, especially if you are in an environment on which you need a cluster of many servers to handle requests from many users, because if all you are doing is doing small sites that you are still hosting on a shared server or even a VPS, this problem is not for you, because once you are in a shared server, you pretty much have given up all the performance optimizations that you could make, because the shared server is so unoptimized that forget it. But if you are working for a company that needs a reasonable level of scalability, all these things that are being discussed here on the Rasmus conference that he participated, all these things matter, and people should be really, really concerned about this, because if they want to evolve as PHP professionals, they should be concerned about all these details that may affect the quality of your work. And if you are not working for yourself, you probably do not feel it much, because it's not, in the end of the month, it's not going to be your bill of hosting to pay, but your boss will be concerned, and you should follow whatever are the needs of the company that you work for. And another aspect that I think Yasir can also help commenting here is about implementing solutions that are too complicated for the needs. And what one thing that brought to my memory is that precisely one of the classes that Yasir submitted for the Innovation Award, and he was nominated for it, is precisely one class that generates code to use a well-known framework. Well, I think you can mention that in the case it was the Zen framework, because it's not a secret. It's one of the nominated classes, and everybody was trying. We will be able to see exactly what it was. In the conference, Rasmus did not mention any specific framework that could cause more or less problems. But what he said is that once they adopt the framework, they try to rip off all the parts that are needless and probably are wasting too much resources. And I don't know what exactly he was thinking, but for instance, the class that Yasir developed wraps around Zen framework to actually generate code to use with the Zen framework. I think it's the forms package, because the way I see it, it is very complicated. Yasir, can you explain better why exactly did you use did you develop that package?
Actually, I have been working with the Zen framework over the last 3 years. And the most complex part of the Zen framework which I faced was using the Zen forms. Especially the decorators are really very complex, and even if you want to validate a validator or some validations to a form field, then you have to write almost 15 to 20 line of codes, like creating objects of validators and adding in that to form elements. So right. They are really complex, and they are really difficult to use, and even they have a very steep learning curve. So after suffering some time, I decided to write, why not should I write a wrapper class that should simplify the creating of the Zen form, so you don't have to go deeper detail of the Zen form elements, and you just use this wrapper class. It's as a really simple interface and simple functions, just add validators. That can really help someone else instead of rather than going deeper down into the Zen form complexity.
Right. So if you were able to develop a package that generates code that is simpler to call the actual Zend framework. Why do you think Zend framework is not as simple as the code that you generated? Do you have any clue?
Well, not yet.
Exactly, that's the problem. Nobody understands why frameworks are so complicated. It's needless, let me make clear that I have nothing against Zend framework or any specific frameworks, but this is just to highlight one point, which is that frameworks tend to be very complicated because they try to address many types of needs, and in the end, the interface becomes too cluttered. And I think the only solution for that is to rewrite it completely. Probably make it as simple as the code as your package generates, and relieve the pain for everybody that wants to use the framework. And also related with code generation, I think that's what Rasmus said, and also Cesar also mentioned a few moments ago, that it would be better if frameworks actually do a sort of production push that maybe generate some code that is optimal for the environment you are running on. So they actually only execute efficient code rather than generic code that tries to address everybody's need, but it's not the need of the developers that applications that are running. And one final point that I commented, and this again was my opinion, and I wanted to mention this because I think this detail, from what I understood, it's a thing that not everybody knows about. Now, I mentioned it, duplicating the web server functionality when I was talking about the front controller pattern. The front controller usually is some code that looks at your the request URL and tries to match it against a pattern, a URL pattern or a list of patterns, and then according to the matched pattern, it loads the actual controller to actually handle the request. And I thought to myself, well, but at least Apache already does that. Actually, all web servers do that. I think, Cesar, you once noticed that since the early days of the PHP classes, the URLs of PHP classes are not ending in .php. And at the same time, I'm not using mod rewrite, which is the traditional solution to map any arbitrary URL to a .php request. And this is a feature of the Apache web server that allows you to, for instance, let me show here, for instance, in this URL, it's probably very small here on the screen. It starts with blog, and then there's post, and so on. In practice, I have a script named blog, and Apache looks for a file named blog and sees that it exists, and if it exists, and in the case the Apache is configured to interpret it as a PHP script, and it runs this. So instead, I have a front controller to look at the whole URL pattern. In this case, it is executing this script, and that script will figure the any parameters that you may want to extract from the rest of the URL if necessary. So there is no need for a front controller to implement this. Anyway, the front controller is just one case of an additional resource that packages that frameworks tend to push, because they somehow were inspired in the Java world and the Ruby world, and then the Java world and the Ruby world, they use application servers. So the whole request is not handled in the exactly inside the web server. It's the it's the application server that handles it. So it must take the whole URL and at a certain point and do what Apache already does. But in that case, it's necessary because there is this separation between web server and the application server. In the case PHP, there is no such separation because Apache and other web servers call PHP directly. So if you do the additional processing of your URL, you are duplicating web server functionality in this case. But this is yet another example of things that probably will take a very small time on each request, but adding all small things and on that are wasting time because you are using a certain framework, you will start spending a significant amount of resources that may hurt your performance and scalability in a way that it's not you cannot ignore. And well, basically, this is what was sort of discussed by Rasmus. I added also my opinions, and let's make clear that this article was not exactly just about Rasmus' opinions. And other than that, he also mentioned some other questions that I'm just going to mention them very quickly. Specifically about the decision to drop APC in favor of Zendop code that we already mentioned in past episodes. He also asked a question about somebody that wanted to compile PHP into some form of binary code to protect from copying or at least somebody poking in your code in production. Well, there are no perfect... there are some PHP encoding solutions that are not perfect because they can always be cracked, as Rasmus mentioned. But if you just want to prevent that your boss goes in your server and starts changing your code, you may try to make it more difficult for him. Like now you can bundle all your code in FAR packages, which is something that I mentioned in this article, just to add up, besides the Rasmus argument that compiled code would be always be possible to break. Now, he also answered about the reason why he used the dollar sign for PHP variables. He also commented about the non-blocking I/O solutions for PHP, which are not very common. He actually mentioned that if he had to do some synchronous programming, probably would go for the Go language, but he also agreed that if you want to do it all in PHP, it is possible. He also mentioned about the inclusion of JIT in PHP and also supporting Unicode natively, probably not in PHP 6, but rather in PHP 7. And that was basically it, what he commented. And I don't know if you guys want to add any more comments regarding these topics. If you are fine, we can move on with the next topic here of the Hangout, which
I think that we can move on. Like, what is at least from my point of view, like you just explained it. What was about to say, like I like the way that he exposes things. Like, he's not a blind fanatic. Like, when someone asks him about Node, he say probably no, I would go by PHP or by Go. So, and that is something that if you are a programmer who wrote his own programming language, that is not very often that you would say.
You're right.
But he said so.
Right. I think he's quite sincere, and he doesn't seem to be too biased, and which is not usual, as you mentioned. Okay, so let's move on. Finally, you are going to mention about the PHP Programming Innovation Award of the Year, which finally the results came out after the year, the end of the year nomination, which is about the December classes. They were voted on January, so in February the results come out, so you can compute the final ranking of the winners. So this year the winner was Yasir Siddiqui from Pakistan. Congratulations, Yasir, once again.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I hope you are very happy with this. You actually deserved it. It was not a small difference. You had like 6 packages nominated, so you earned 33 points. The second one was Kiwon from Germany. He had only 4 packages, 24 points. It was also a great performance, but it did not beat you. And the third one was also close, but still lagging behind. Ovunk Tukanmez from Turkey with 4 packages and 20 points. I also like to comment that starting this year, 2014, so this is not yet started in 2013, there is an award for winners by country. So besides the individual award, there will also be a collective award by country. So in the year that passed, all authors of each country accumulated points, which are added, and we compute the ranking by country. In the year 2013, in the case, it was Brazil that won with 10 packages, with 71 points, followed right behind by Pakistan, your home country. Certainly, Yasir, you have helped Pakistan reach the second position with 9 packages and 51 points. So it was not just you, which is great when a country has several people that are talented enough to contribute with great packages. But certainly you helped Pakistan reach the second position. So let's talk a bit more about yourself, Yasir. Can you tell us your name, where you live, what do you work, and so on?
My name is Yasir Siddiqui, and I'm from Pakistan. I completed my graduation in 2006, and right after graduation from the university, I started coding in PHP since 2006. And I have been working till recently, till now, in the PHP, and it has been a really great experience working with PHP as a web programming language.
Right. Can you tell exactly where you live in Pakistan? Maybe it would be interesting for your colleagues that live in the same city to sort of find you.
Actually, I live in Islamabad, the capital of Pakistan.
Yeah. Okay. Do are there many developers PHP where you live? Is it big?
In Pakistan, Islamabad is the second largest city where you can find PHP resources and programmer in Pakistan. Second largest.
So I suppose it's not a small PHP shop, I imagine.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about your nominations. I wonder if you could comment about, it's like 6 packages, but if you can comment briefly what each package does and why did you develop them, it would be interesting.
Okay. First, I would like to start with Zen Framework. I already discussed about it.
Okay. Can you share your screen and show your package actually in the page so you can see it? And I mean on screen.
Okay. Let me.
It's always a challenge, but you can make it.
Okay, there it is.
Okay. Let me. Okay. Yeah. Can you zoom it a bit? It's like Control Plus. Okay, that's enough. So let's talk. Start talking one of those packages one at a time.
Okay. First of all, I would like to comment on Apple Passbook. Actually, this package generates passes for the Apple devices like iPhone and iPads. The pass consists actually pass consists of JSON file containing pass data and design. So actually, this package can generate that JSON file and the images and the logos related to that. So you don't have to go deeply into the JSON data, how it is managed, and how to put images there in the JSON. You just use this class, and it will generate a complete pass with a preview for you.
Right. And is this specific for mobile applications, or?
It's only specific for the Apple iPhone and iPads.
Okay. So the next one is also related with iPhones, right?
Actually, the Apple push notification service is really common now. Almost every app uses the Apple push notification service to send notifications to the devices using that application. So this class actually, this class can be used to send push notification to the Apple devices like iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch. It actually connects to the Apple push notification server using secure sockets, and then it just delivers JSON to the Apple server, and then Apple server delivers that notification to the device. So it is a complete wrapper over the, you can say, secure sockets, which you can use for sending notification to the Apple devices.
Right. This is sort of similar to those that communicate to the Android Google Cloud Messaging platform, but specific for Apple, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And the next one?
The next one is the PHP Circuit Breaker class. The Circuit Breaker is basically the design pattern which is used to test, to check if the service is available before trying to reach it. So sometimes, it's now it's very common to display like Twitter tweets and Facebook tweet, Facebook wall post, and each and everything on the web application. So sometimes, when if any service is down, you just ping them and you just waste the server resources and page load time. So what this class does is that it uses PHP APC opcode cache to store the last results of each service, and then before sending the request to the each service, you just check if that service is available. If it's available, then you ping it. If it's not, then you just simply don't ping it, so you don't utilize or waste server resources.
Right, it's for avoiding the overhead of trying to connect to a service that is down for a while, right? So, but it will eventually check it again sometime later.
Yeah, it will actually check again once, sometime later, exactly.
Okay, so and what about the next one?
The next one is the PHP Google Cloud Print API. Actually, this one was really interesting. It actually, you can send documents to a remote printer and can get print of them. This actually uses Google Cloud, and it's connected to the Google Cloud, and then it sends the document to that cloud using Curl, and then Google Cloud just points to that printer, and then the documents get printed over there.
Right. This is a sort of also meant to help mobile applications to send the stuff to printers, right?
Yeah, exactly. You can do this.
Okay, what about the next one?
The next one is the PHP URL compares. It compares basically to PHP URLs. Sometimes URL get longer, when especially when you have the GET request with lot of query string parameters. And then sometimes you have to compare them. It's very difficult to eyeball each URL and then get the difference between them. So you just use this class, put both the URLs, and it will show each and every different every parameter which is different. So you can easily just calculate what the difference between the two URLs is.
Right. So if you have two GET parameters in a different order, you'll still match. The URL as being equal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, what about, so the last one is, we already comment, but you comment can comment it again.
Well, same, I would like to comment same, using ZenFarm is really complex, but I would also like to say the Zen framework is really an awesome framework. Whatever you think, whatever you want to develop, it's there in the Zen framework, but you know, sometimes things get complicated, especially when the Zen framework using forms is really complex, especially when you are, if you want to decorate your form in Zen framework 1.12, they are really very complex. So this class is a wrapper class. It generated, it generates, it provides a simple interface to the programmer, so it can use a simple interface for generating the Zen form files, Zen form classes, and then you can just put those classes in the Zen form, and it will start working easily. So you don't have to go complexity into deeper complexity of Zen forms.
Okay. Okay. So as we comment, this is meant to simplify the lives of those that want to use Zen framework. Yeah. Well, maybe Zen could actually hire you to make their framework simpler, so nobody needs a generator.
Yeah.
Well, so okay, that is awesome. That is quite a good bunch of interesting, innovative classes. I hope you can continue to send more innovative classes in the future. Now, I would like to know if from the other packages nominated to the award, if was there anyone that you noticed, any package that you noticed that would be worth noting? I mean, from the other authors, of course.
Well, and there are a few packages which I would like to say. The one was iFile.
If you can share the Innovation Award winner space so you can point to the actual class.
Okay. Yeah, there it is. It's from the November 2013, and it got rank number 2, iFile. Index and search documents using Lokane and the MySQL. I think that is really an awesome class.
Right.
You know, it uses the full text search. You can use full text search either using MySQL or search Lokane. This is really a good class to have a look at it.
Any other class or just that from your top, from the top of your mind?
The other was Status 404 PHP Best Match page. This is also, I really like this class because sometimes when you see a 404 page, then you would also like to show users that there are some similar pages. Maybe he is searching. So you just play, you can show best 404 match pages.
Okay.
And the other one is, which I would like to say was a really good class, website traffic and page access, which through it you can analyze traffic on your server, what pages are being mostly visited by the visitors.
Yeah.
And
which one was that?
The last.
Sorry, I didn't get it.
Well,
the previous one that you mentioned.
I guess. It
so
is
the
from,
status 404 is from Peter Kahl from Vietnam, I think. No, Hong Kong, sorry. And it was in September. And the previous one that you mentioned, sorry, I didn't get the name.
That was status 404, and then website traffic.
Oh, website traffic. Right, the one of Mark Lowe from Romania, I think. And it was in August.
August 2013, yeah. And the last one is the Google Driving Direction. Which I like, is really a good package to have.
Oh, I see. It's from May, from Marcos Brazil, from Brazil. PHP Google Driving Directions. Right, exactly. There are so many good classes that probably we wouldn't have the time to talk about. I think it's like 50 or 60 nominated classes during 2013. And this is great because it always adds a lot of to the site, and everybody benefits from the community. Okay, so basically, I was trying to actually get your opinion on these packages, and not only about yours, but also about others. Now, I wanted to know more a bit about if you feel that your participation in the Innovation Awards somehow influenced your career already, or maybe it didn't influence much yet.
Well, I would say it has much influence in my career. You know, when you write in your CV that you have won the, you have your classes have been nominated in the PHP classes and you are the winner, and then the most important thing is you are contributing the open source community and helping people to find out the solution. That really helps. That really gives you an edge.
Right. Well, I imagine, but in some countries, people may pay more attention to that or not, but it's good to know that somehow it has been helping you. Well, moving on, another thing I wanted to ask is more about if the participation in this award somehow already motivated you to contribute more, maybe send more innovative classes, or maybe you need some time. What are your plans?
Well, honestly speaking, I need some rest for the next 2 or 3 months, and then I will once again start, contributing some good code to the open source community.
Because you actually sent quite a good bunch of classes. It must have given you a lot of work.
Yeah.
Right. It's like Cesar that won the Innovation Award like 2 years in a row, sent tens of innovative classes, and now he's resting because he's very tired.
Yeah. Right. The thing is that I didn't work that much back then, but now I have a lot of clients. Yes, and I would say that if you can tell us like how it goes in 6 months or so, because in my personal experience. Back in 2008, I was contacted through the website for doing some telecommunity work, and since then I'm not working from an office, and it has been the best thing that ever happened to me. So, without open source, probably I would be just writing a very stupid program. Using forums and probably Oracle or something what they teach you at the college. So I think open source is very important, and I think that it makes you outstanding and it makes you different from the crowd. And right. In my personal experience, it really helped me. So I wish you the best of luck, and let's see who can win this 2014.
Right. Well, by the way, Yassir, do you work for companies in offices, or do you work remotely, probably to companies in other countries?
In Pakistan, we usually work mostly in the offices of the companies. So
right.
It's usually 9 to 5 or 9 to 6, or even sometimes people work in night shifts from 8 to 4 p.m., from 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. or 5 p.m.
Mostly
most of the people work with the companies over here.
Right, but I would say that you are above the average. Did you get any offers to work directly to companies abroad? Or you didn't get those yet?
Well, I didn't get those yet at the moment.
Okay, but if some company would like to hire for you to work probably remotely, so you don't have to leave home, would you be interested?
Yeah.
As long it pays well, of course.
Yeah.
That's an important detail.
Yeah.
But so anybody that may be interested to hire Yassir, now you know that he is talented enough to win the Year Innovation Award. It was not just one a monthly award. It was six packages, so it's not a trivial amount of skilled work. Okay. Other than that, I also wanted to ask you about now that we have the championship awards by country. There is the nation championship that will sort of make a contest by country. So the country that wins will get a special prize that all nominated authors of that country will get an elephant. Oh, by the way, I did not mention, but you also will get an elephant like this. And but in the case of the country winners, I also would like to comment. Well, actually, I announced it a few weeks ago that if the country that wins will get a special prize that includes one of these elephants for each of the winners. So in this case of the Innovation Award, if it is already happening in 2013, the winner was Brazil. So all the developers of the 10 packages that were nominated would get their own elephant, apart from a special prize that Amia is going to get to announce. So anyway, my question to you was, do you think this championships award are encouraging enough? Do you plan to encourage authors from your country to also contribute so your country eventually wins the Nations Award this year?
Well, first of all, I would like to say that this is really a good initiative, the country championship. This will really encourage more and more people from the different countries so that they can contribute more and more packages so that their country, if not this time, maybe next year it can win and get the first place.
Yeah, well, so did you already contact other authors from your country to also send innovative packages, probably collaborate with ideas to see, because the nominated packages need to be innovative, of course.
I have a couple of friends. I talked to them about contributing over the PHP, and then I just told about them the prizes which they get if they get innovation, and then the most important thing is the recognition which they get. And they were really excited about them, and they said that they will try to contribute this year.
Right, that's good to know. And also, as you mentioned, it besides the recognition, there is also the exposure that you got. Cesar can tell more about it. Cesar, you also mentioned the last month that you are now working for Mega Upload, thanks to the many open source contributions that you have posted, right?
Right, basically that. And I've heard of more and more companies. I cannot give names, but they are all thinking of just sharing the product that they have, because they don't make money off the product, but they make money off their services that they provide, and they are thinking to make it open source. Not only to just show how they build things, but also to just discover talented people and how to hire them as quickly as possible. So if companies are thinking in that way, it's because it really makes sense, because we are in a profession that we can show all our talents, and they can see how we work without a trial period. So that's something great.
Right, your work is already there in the
in
public sites, not only in PHP classes, GitHub, and many other sites that expose your work, and they can already see it. Not only they can see your work, but for instance, in the case of PHP classes, if your package is innovative, it will be exposed that you are capable of creating new solutions that probably nobody thought before. And that's quite a great value that you can add to companies. So I am sure that, for instance, yesterday, if you was not already contacted by foreign companies, I think it's a matter of time. I mean, in my opinion, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, now just to end this interview, just would like to make a couple of questions that are that I usually make to invited guests. Basically, the first question would be about just to mention one thing in particular that you like in PHP classes.
Well, the price which you get.
The prices, of course.
Yeah.
Well, we,
I really like it.
In that case, we have to thank the sponsors that have joined this initiative. We have all them listed here: CodeEnvy, IP Telocation, Zen, NewSphere, ActiveState, Human Profile, JSX Software, Code Lobster, PHP Architect, Pact Publishing, and O'Reilly. There were others that left, and others came in their places. And this is also serve as a notice to companies that want to sponsor the Innovation Award. They can always join in. It does not cost you nothing other than actually sending the prizes to the winners. There is no money amount to be paid to the PHP class site, and you get a lot of free exposure. We can call it free because the only duty is to actually send the prizes to the winners that pick the prizes. And other than the prizes, now I'd like to ask you one final question, which is to one bad thing or one thing that probably is not so good in the PHP classes site that you would like to highlight to and you would like to see it improve somehow.
I have been having a really good experience with the PHP classes, but I would like to give some suggestions regarding improvements. I guess first of all, PHP classes should also launch a smartphone app like Android and iPhone app. So people can log in using their smartphone into the app and see their packages, and you know, each and every functionality in the website should also be there in the smartphone app, like on iPhone and Android. That will really help. And sometimes people ask questions that they need help about your package, so they post on your package forum. You can just log in into your smart app, smartphone app, and then just reply from over there. That will really help the people.
Right, that's interesting. Actually, last summer when PHP classes got reached 14 years of age, I tried to put some plans about things that I was considering. I also asked about making the site more mobile friendly. Well, not many people answer to that, but I can understand probably in some countries more than others, people use more smartphones than actually computers to access the web, and especially the younger users. So it makes sense. I don't know if it is something that could develop sometime soon, but I certainly will keep that in mind, so I appreciate the suggestion. And okay, regarding this interview, practically ended. I don't know if is there anything else that I have not asked to you that you'd like to comment. Oh, by the way, you can stop the screen sharing. You still have the screen sharing on your... Okay.
Okay.
So, okay, go ahead. Is there anything you'd like to comment on, any question that you would like to be asked that I didn't ask for? Anything?
Nothing. I think everything is clear.
Okay. So, thank you for this interview. Congratulations once again. So, now we are going to move on to one of our final sections, on which you comment about the Innovation Award nominees of the last month. Indeed, it is the last month that we commented was October, so the next month you need to comment about November. Then in November they are nominated, and then in December they were like voted by the users, and then in January the results come out. So we'll start first from the JS classes site. There were like three nominees. Let's start by you, Yasir. Which one would like to comment?
I would say the winner of the November 2013 JS Image Magnifier.
Okay, if you can share your screen to show the package.
Okay. That's it. It's the winner of November 2013 JS Image Magnifier. Show a zoomed version of an image.
Well,
and
I see. For some reason, the screen sharing is not appearing. I don't know. So anyway, I'll try to show it here.
I can see his screen.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah. It's got you. It probably is a bit slow, but anyway. So which one would like to comment?
JS Image Magnifier.
Oh, okay. If you can open that page, it will be helpful. Okay, so can you comment about that package?
I really like this package. Sometimes you need to show the zoom version of an image, especially when you click on an image or place your mouse over the image. It's really helpful when you are showing some products like a shopping cart where the user want to see is more zoomed image. Usually use this class rather than loading a full high resolution image. You just show thumbnail, and then when user wants to see the detailed image, he just rolls over the mouse over that image, and then it shows a full version or high resolution image. That's really what I like about this paper. It's really a good one.
Right. Well, that one is from Mark Rolich from Armenia. He has sent quite a good bunch of packages, and that is interesting. Because I think you can show a demo that is, if you scroll in the page, I think there is a related link that says demo something.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's the one that says demo and docs in the related links below.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is.
Right. Yeah.
You can see the.
Right. Yes, this is interesting. I've seen this in many e-commerce sites, this effect, and it shows a low resolution picture on the left, and on the right picture is on the right. Okay, this one is interesting. Cesar, now we're going to move on to the next package. Which one would you like to comment?
Let me share my screen first. Can you see it?
Yeah.
It's a bit slow here, so.
Right. So I'm gonna talk about is not a class, precisely. It is an application that is named Web Notes, which is a web application that can manage notes, which looks what Opera has. Apparently, I don't use Opera, and I use it because it is unusual to me to see like a complete product, not just classes. So I think that is always cool. And here is a demo, and basically you can just add notes. You can send a note and many other things via email. So I choose it, and it was written by Artus Sosins. He's from Latvia, and apparently he is a very active user. So kudos.
Yeah, actually, he was one of the three winners that JS Class Innovation Award of the 2013 had, and that was one of the classes that helped him to be nominated, actually to win the award. So Now moving on, in my case, I would like to mention also another the third package that was submitted by Oliver Lewin-Hanjo from Mexico. In this case, it is it implements the Facebook Connect OAuth protocol for to get the tokens and so, and it does it without I think without needing the API of that JavaScript API that Facebook provides. So this is interesting for those that want to develop packages based on all Facebook applications. So with this, we're going to move on to the Innovation Award winners of November of PHP Classes site. There were many innovative packages, like 13 packages this month. Unfortunately, this hangout is already too long, and we don't have much time to cover all of them, but we can cover like three. Well, we already talked about Apple Passbook PHP Classes by Yasir. Cesar, which package would you like to comment?
Okay. I'm going to comment. Can you see my screen?
Okay.
I'm going to talk about a parser from the Esri grid. ASCII file, so it basically it can extract geolocation data from those file formats. I am particularly interested into this class because my father he is an engineer and a geographer, so he uses this program, so I know what it does. And second, it's because it is a file parser, so I'm always interested in parsing things. And it was written by Karim Ratib. I think I'm pronouncing it right, and he's from Canada.
Right. That's an interesting package for people working with GIS and geography systems in general. And on my part, I also like to comment one package that I found very interesting. Somehow it is related with a problem that we mentioned about a few months ago, that PHP.NET site was attacked, and somebody somehow, for a reason that it was not yet disclosed, if there was any conclusion that was reached, somehow changed JavaScript files that were served by the site, and that was sort of infecting the computers of the users, at least make them work in a way that is not the way it's supposed to be. So this package by Larry Wakeman from the United States actually has been a great contributor. I had already two nominated packages. One of them was winner, which is this package here. What it does is basically to compare files in two directories to find the changes. So if you have your site files in a directory and then there is another directory with a copy of the files, if any of the files was changed, you can actually run this class and detect the changes and be warned that somebody somehow invaded your site and was able to change the files. And this would have been helpful to address the problem of security issues that happen in PHP.NET site sooner rather than later, because what happened is that the PHP.NET maintainers only realized that they were attacked when some user complained in their forum. So if they use an automated process to detect changed files like this, they certainly would have detected it early and saved them from the small embarrassment. And I say this because somehow I sort of passed that problem, not sure, a few years ago. I don't know. I think there was a vulnerability in the server that serves static files, and some attacker sort of was able to change the file and make it serve some heads or something. And I only realized it because Google detected it and noticed. Sent a notice to me so I could fix it. I had to run and rush, and when something like that happens, Google stops sending you search traffic because your site is considered to be infected with malware, and this is bad for the site. So components like this are very useful and can be used for helping to fix problems sooner rather than later. And we also comment about this in a previous hangout with Jim Malico from OWASP that was kind enough to show up in the hangout. So with this class, practically ended this podcast. I would like to thank you, Yasir, for coming, and congratulations once again for your award. Yasir, I wonder if you would like to leave your contacts in case somebody wants to contact you for maybe to hire you or for some other reason. Would you like to leave your contacts so they can talk to you?
Yeah, sure.
What would be, do you prefer email or something?
Yeah, it's email. My email address at PHP classes.
Oh, okay. The email address?
Yeah.
Currently, it is not being exposed. It used to be in the past, but probably you can. You would need to tell him it here because the site does not. Or you prefer them to contact you via private messages in the site?
Yeah, well, that's fine for me. If they want to contact me using the private messages, that will be that can also work for me.
Okay, that's fine. So with this, practically ended the podcast. I'll also ask, I'd like to thank you, Cesar, again for coming.
No problem. My pleasure.
Okay, with this, that's all for now. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.